side of an interview with Rabbi Leonard Winograd on January 27, 1982. We think that the tape went off in the middle of a sentence about his navigation crew.
So I had a wonderful crew, and each one in his own way was a very special person to me.
How many people in a crew, Rabbi?
10 of us.
And where were you stationed at that point?
Italy.
In Italy.
And so the day that we went down, there was the shot fired at us. We were bombing a synthetic oil refinery. But I think we were 7 planes from our squadron. It started out, 3 of them went down, ran out of gas. So it was some kind of sabotage. But in Italy, there was a lot of sabotage. We were lucky because they were planes that would blow up on takeoff. Somebody would put bombs on them. And
what was the date when your plane went down?
I think it was January the 31st, 1945. I think.
It's almost an anniversary for you.
January the 29th. I'm not sure. It's probably in there because when I wrote that thing, it was fresher.
When did you join the Air Force?
Okay, I think that was 42. In August or September, I enlisted, and I got called January the 22nd, 43. There was a big train of us, all went down together. The hero of the train was Herbie Talberg, because he got off the train in Georgia and didn't get on when it went on to Florida, and he had to hire a taxi to catch the train, and we all saw the taxi coming along the side of the train. Everybody knew him by the time we got to basic training.
And when did you go overseas?
I went overseas in beginning of August, 1944. And there were a lot of Jewish boys in the aviation cadets. As how I came to go into aviation cadets, actually, we did a debate at Beaver Falls from Pitt. And I remember Harold Gondelman was telling my mother that he wanted to go into the Air Force, because there, he wasn't a strong fellow, but there he had a machine to fight for.
Was so, he from that area, or he
no,
came
he
out
was,
for the
no,
debate?
No, Harold was on the debating team. It is out on the debating team. And I think he may have driven the car. And so I took that to heart, you know. He wound up in the artillery, and I joined the Air Force. Because I couldn't get in the artillery. I couldn't get in ROTC because I had high blood pressure.
So you got around it another way. Are we going to have time now? I think we will, for you to tell us what happened after your plane went down,
well,
and where it was that it
went
down.
In Yugoslavia, in Bosnia, in the mountains. And I didn't have a gun with me because, like, 1 or 2 days before, some idiot was cleaning his pistol and he shot off his toes. So as punishment for us, they took away the guns from everyone in the squadron. So we were up there flying over Germany without guns. And I came down in the mountains in Yugoslavia, and the snow was up to the waist. And I was being chased by wolves and bear, and I didn't have a gun. And I figured what I would do, you know, if they get close to me, to take off my Arctic parka and strangle them.
Where were the other men from the crew at this point?
You don't all jump out at 1 second. You jump out one after another, right? When I jumped out, I looked out behind me, and I was an officer. There were 4 officers on the plane. So
what was your rank?
First lieutenant. So the enlisted person will go out first. So they were all out there, and they looked to me like, kittens who were hanging on a line hung up to dry. They were all strung out behind me. And then I jumped out, and I didn't see any of them for quite a while. I was 3 days alone in the Alps. And after 3 days, I was pretty cold and pretty hungry and pretty thirsty. So I saw this crucifix, and I had heard that there were priests and nuns who would help American fires. And I knew what to do. I knew my escape procedure. All I needed was a little hot water, and I could hold out for quite a while. So I started crawling toward that crucifix in the snow. And then as I got closer, I saw that it wasn't a church. It was a chapel of a cemetery. And there were these little kids. They saw me, and they ran screaming and hollering to these German guards.
German guards?
Uh-huh. And the German guards asked me if I was American, and I didn't answer. And he asked me if I was Italian, and I told him I was American. Because I knew enough about it that allies never like each other. And if they were Germans and allies of Italy, I didn't want to be an Italian. So, you can get it from the article.
I think it's also good to have you talk about it. May I ask one more technical question before you continue with it? Did you parachute out?
Yeah.
We
parachuted from 11,000 feet.
Uh-huh. From a plane that had run out of gas?
Yeah.
And had been shot?
No.
Had run out of gas?
We had dropped our bombs.
And you were on your way back to base?
Right. Plane went down in the Adriatic Sea.
Were you bombing in Germany or?
Austria.
In Austria.
Synthetic oil refinery. Spear bomb. It's a well-known raid. It's written about in books. I found the raid in a book. I was surprised, you know, but I was the only one who knew about the place. It's really important, you know.
Do you want to spell the name of that place?
MOOSBIERBAUM.
Moose Beer Bowl.
It was, one of the synthetic oil refineries that IG Farben stole from the private owners. They stole all of the So they brought me into a room, a military headquarters of some kind, these guards, and
what language did they speak to you?
They brought out an interpreter who young German soldier, and he asked me my name, and my rank, and my serial number, and my religion. And you know, I was kind of semi-shocked, and I told him I was a Jew. And they got all excited, and I realized I'm not supposed to tell them anything but name, rank, and serial number. And they wanted to know my, and my God, both Germans, I'm a Jew. And they wanted to know my home address, and I said, you know, I can't tell you that. And this son of a bitch said to me, how would you like to meet me under the clock at Coffins?
What?
This German officer.
Yeah. He was a professional intelligence officer, and there was something in the way I spoke that said Pittsburgh to him. And he picked it up. You know, there is a distinctive way that people speak. They say if you know how to tell, you can tell what part of Israel a person is from, one of seven places, by the way they speak. And that's a small country. So he said, you've heard of Coffins, of course. And I said, well, that's a department store. And he said, when I was in America, I noticed that all the big department stores were owned by Jews. So he had gone to school, I think, at Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And he asked me if I'd ever seen the Painted Desert, which made me feel like crap because I had, and he had. And anyhow, I was really cold. And they brought me this fantastic soup. It was soup and tea. And they apologized to me because the tea was not pink tea. It was green tea. And I was afraid to eat the food or drink the tea because they're going to kill me. And they did not intend to kill me. They wanted to get information from me, and I wouldn't give them any information. And I just sat there. And then I guess he was commanding officer of the place, came out, and he said things like that he was from Vienna, and that the opera house in Vienna had been bombed by us. And I wouldn't talk, and he said that if I wanted to have a nice conversation as one officer to another, this was the opportunity for it. I'm just going to sit there like a bump on the lawn or something, or a rock and not talk. I might as well go to the barracks. So I went to the barracks. Oh, they also told me, while they were trying to get information, that everybody on my crew had been killed. And they had the names, too. And when I got to the barracks, I found half the crew was there, and the other half had apparently gone, been captured the first day. This was already the third day. And had gone on to the real interrogation center. So, there was fighting going on all around us. When I came down during those 3 days, there were people shooting everywhere. There were all kinds of guerrillas in Yugoslavia, and the different guerrilla armies were shooting at each other. I don't think this has got much to do with anything. They were shooting at each other, and they were all walking by me. Nobody was interested in me. And, you know, you had the Tito guerrillas, who were theoretically communists, and you had the Mikhailovich guerrillas, who were the Chetniks, and
the Whatniks?
Chetniks, there was Serbians.
Okay.
And you had, we had Chetniks flew with us from Italy. I had two crews of them. And there were Ukrainian guerrillas who were called the Order of Suvorov, I think. And they were just fighting everybody. And the Germans were fighting everybody. And some fellows didn't take chances. They had both the emblems on their hats, depending on who they saw. And one emblem on the front and a different one on the back. And anyhow, there.
And no one paid attention to your American uniform.
They couldn't be bothered with me. No. So they were fighting for their life, you know. And anyhow, when you read that story, I'll tell you why I wrote it. I wrote that because we went through a very cynical period in America shortly after I came to McKeesport, and I felt that Jewish children needed to know that it was possible for people to be heroic, that there are heroic people. And I did something once in my life that was really heroic, and it's in that story. So you'll read it, okay?
All right.
And let's make a date for next Wednesday
okay.
morning.
All right.